Blog Talk Radio.
It's Sunday, and this is Pause IM Radio. We're excited to be on the air and hosted by Blog Talk Radio. Your hosts for today's program are Robert Brining and Jeremy Dunn. We'll be taking your calls and speaking with our featured member of the week. We encourage all of our listeners to phone in and share some of your life experiences. The number to call is 347-215-9442. Welcome to Pause IM Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Pause IM Radio. I am your host, Robert Brining. Tonight, I am flying solo. Jeremy is feeling a bit under the weather and is not up for hosting tonight, so I just want to send out some, you know, positive thoughts to him, and hopefully he'll be feeling better soon. I want to welcome everyone in the chat room for listening. Linda, Mark, and Tom, thanks for joining us. Told you Mark would be here. Tonight's basically an open forum night. Basically, you can call in and share any kind of story you want, bitch about anything that's happening with you. It's basically just a once for all. Anybody can call in and talk about whatever you want. So feel free to call in whenever you need to at 347-215-9442. Some things I did want to touch a little bit on, as some people know that the Pause IM Radio is actually a part of the Pause IM Community, which is a social networking website for people infected and affected by HIV and AIDS, and you can find the Pause IM Community at pauseim.com. And Jeremy's website is positivelyspeaking.com, positively with a Z. You can check out his information there as well. So the interesting thing that happened this weekend is I had a fundraiser to go to today that we held for a little girl named Caroline, and she was in an accident when she was 10 months old in the car, and had some spinal cord injuries that left her to a wheelchair. The interesting thing was is we just happened to meet with somebody who knew someone who knew her mother and Caroline, so we decided to set it up, and it was very, you know, we like to do one thing, me and my partner do, is we do a lot of events where we like to give back, and it's important to give back, especially to kids, because it's just a certain place for us. You know, we obviously can't have our own kids right now, so we like to help as many kids as possible. At one point, we'd like to actually open up a camp for kids that have all different kinds of diseases, whether it's HIV or cancer or whatever it may be. I think it just may be a pretty cool thing to do and experience. But today we had the event, and, you know, Joe went on and did his thing. And I've never been to an event where I've seen so many gift baskets. They were doing a Chinese auction, and they literally had, I swear, 50 baskets. And I thought it was the coolest thing that they had. Tickets to go to see games up a week up the Poconos, you know, like all different things. It was really, really cool. The great thing is they were trying to raise around $7,000 for this machine that Caroline will be able to use as a joystick in her mouth, and she'll be able to send emails and text messages with this machine, and it'll help her communicate with her family more, because right now she can't speak. And just with the ticket sales alone, we raised $6,000, so they were only $1,000 away, and I'm sure they got it with all the baskets and stuff that they sold tickets for and everything. So I just thought it was a really cool thing, and I was kind of glad to be a part of it. On a different note, today is actually would be 8 years that my dad passed away on, actually today on the 25th of January. So I kind of wanted to do something so I didn't reflect on being, you know, thinking of my father's death, you know what I mean, all day long. We're thinking about, you know, what's going on with my mom, what's going on with my sisters. I wanted to do something where it would keep me busy. So, you know, I said, let's do this event, this fundraiser. This is something, first of all, my dad would love to do and be a part of, because he was always the person who would give you a shirt off his back. So it was really cool to do something that I knew my father would do. It was very, very, very difficult to deal with, you know, the passing of him, because I wasn't so close. I wasn't, like, me and my mom are really close, but I wasn't as close to my father, and there's a lot of things that I didn't get to do. So, you know what I mean, I have a lot of regret of not being the perfect son, because I was going through my stages of, you know, coming out of the closet, trying to figure out who I was, trying to grow up and be a man, and all these different things. And I was so busy looking for myself that the last couple of years of my father being around, I felt like I should have been there more. I could have been there more. Like, there just could have been more memories for me to have in those last 2 years. But, you know, I deal with what I have, and I'm happy that I had those moments. I mean, that's the way that I have to look at it, I guess, today. So let's see, some new things that are actually going on in the Paz IM community, just so people know. There is a now Paz IM fan club for the radio show, so if you are a fan of the radio show, you can join that, which I thought was pretty cool. We're over 322 we have members, which is kind of, I think, fascinating because, again, like I said, this site's only been up since July at this you know, location where the site is, so for it to grow that big is kind of, you know, exciting, and I'm glad that you all share in my vision and at least tell your friends when you come here and you're welcomed by people. It means a lot to me that a lot of people are reaching out and saying, like, what can I do to help? How can I help you? Which is great, and I'd like to, you know, commend them for doing that, you know, especially Josh stepping up and wanting to do the radio show with me on Wednesdays. You know, that means a lot that somebody else wants to go and do it. And the fact is that they're younger than me, which, I mean, you all think, you know, a lot of people think that I'm still young at 29, but people that are younger than, you know, me actually want to get involved and do stuff, which is a great thing. So I just, you know, take my hat off because I don't think at that age I was able to put myself out there like that. So it's always difficult thing to deal with, but we all deal with it in certain ways, I guess. Another interesting thing that I wanted to bring up, which was kind of caught by accident. I don't know if anyone's seen this, but on Lifetime last night, they had this show called Prayers with Bobby. And it was a touching story. And actually, I saw Sigourney Weaver on The View talking about playing the mother. And it's about a boy named Bobby who, you know, is in this somewhat religious Catholic background, you know, where they believe that being gay is wrong and it's a sin and you're going to go to hell. It was a really touching story because the mother was just trying to be, you know, trying to help her son, and here she was pushing her son away and ended up causing him to commit suicide, which, you know, really, like, rips your heart out to see because that really happened. I mean, it was a true story, and the mother made this so people would understand that you have to love your family. You have to love your kids, even if they're gay. You know, you may not want a gay son or a gay daughter, but if they are, you still have to give them that love and treat them like every other daughter. And that's why the mother did it. And now she's like this human rights activist where she's out there, you know, walking in the gay pride, which I think is amazing for somebody who was so against it. And she was just raised that way. And that's one of the things that I have, you know, difficulties trying to explain to people is that they don't accept you because that's how they're raised. They're taught at a young age that this is what to do, or this is what they're raised around. So your environment makes you think how you want, you know, it programs your head to think the way that your environment is. So I know my mom had issues with, you know, at first me coming out and things like that. So I think it's all in the way that you're raised. And once you experience somebody in your circle of friends or family or whoever is around you who is, you know, gay or maybe is of any kind of prejudice, maybe it's somebody who is African-American or a Chinese person where, you know, in that circle of friends, once you experience somebody who is of that different culture or of that different character at all, anything different between you, once you experience it and actually build a friendship upon it, you're able to look past it and be like, you know what? Maybe it's not what I was taught. You know, one of the things the mom said is whenever you're out there preaching, whether you're, you know, speaking anywhere in, you know, in public or you're at church, watch how you speak because children are always listening. And it makes you really think, you know, the children is our future, and that's what we put, you know, we're investing in our children's future, not our future. So I think that if we start speaking more loving and not so discriminatory, I think this, you know, world could definitely wake up and become a wonderful place. I mean, we're moving forward already, and, you know, I'm excited with the new president and things like that. So if I could vent on anything today, I don't even think I would be able to vent on anything today because really I can't complain because I feel like I'm awake, I'm alive, I'm breathing. There's nothing for me to complain about. Really, there's nothing. If anyone out there would like to call in, share a story, please feel free. 347 is the number, 215-9442. I'm actually just kind of at a loss for words. I don't know. I got talking to my dad, so then there I go. But I was just so anyway, the whole point of me preaching is just to remind you that love the people that you're with, love your family, love your friends, and appreciate all the time that you have, that you have with them, whether it's a short amount of time or whether it's really, really, you know, 50, like I had maybe 20 years with my dad. And, you know, some people are like, oh, I wish I had, you know, that 20 years, it could have been, I felt like it could have been so much more, but I cherish it because it was the time that I had and I can't change it. Can't change the back. Can't change anything that, you know, happened in the past. It's just the way that it goes. So some other interesting facts, since nobody's calling in right now, is I know Anthony's trying to get in. Hopefully he'll be able to get in because I know he wanted to check out the radio show today. But I just added, in case you're just tuning in, I just added a new instant messaging system to the PosIM community, which I'm kind of excited about. It's similar to Facebook, but it's kind of cool. It has audio and video and different things like that. So a lot of people actually like it. So I'm kind of pleased with it. It's a way for you all to connect better. It's when you can see somebody in the video or actually hear somebody's voice, there's so much more to connect with. It's actually, you feel like you're making a real connection with somebody. You know, the chat room's great, but when you're actually seeing them and they're waving to you, it makes you feel a little bit closer to that person. You know what I mean? And it makes you feel a little bit less alone, because I felt really alone when I was first diagnosed. And I know a lot of people go through it, and I didn't want to have to go through it. I didn't want anyone else to go through it. That was my big thing, is when I was diagnosed, I had nowhere to turn, nowhere to go, and I had no one to ask questions to except for doctors. And the doctor stuff I didn't want to hear. I wasn't interested in hearing about the statistics and the blood counts and the pills and all that. I just wanted to hear about how am I going to get through it emotionally in my head. How is my heart going to get through it? Because it literally broke my heart when I found out that I was diagnosed with HIV, and I broke down inside, and I held it. So I'm one of those people who hold everything. So, I mean, anything that happens to me, I'm the one who has to be strong and stand by and be okay. And it, sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad, because I hold it all in, and then once I let it all out, I let it all out kind of in an anger, and I let it all out kind of in an attitude. And I don't mean to do that, but that's the way that, you know, it comes out of me. But I noticed a lot of it is writing. When I would write poetry, it would help me out a lot. And usually when somebody passes away, like I mentioned last week, I usually write a poem just because that's my nature. That's how I deal with things. I cry, you know, in my own time and in my own space, but I write poems. It helps me deal with the situation, and it helps me because really in any situation when you lose somebody, there's really nothing that you can really, really do to make them feel so much better. And I just think sometimes just giving them some words of encouragement that, you know, you can move on with yourself. And yeah, life is really dark right now, but, you know, sooner or later, things are going to get better, and you're going to be able to learn how to deal, you know, without that person. And to know that that person's with you at all times, looking over you, you know, whether it not be physically, but they're with you spiritually, which is, you know, very important for me to know that my dad's around me, I think. Because I have that regret of not doing enough, not being there enough right at the end. And it killed me for, like, years. I mean, it actually really upset me. But I'm glad we actually have a caller. I see Mark finally got through. So I'm going to let Mark on the air. Let's see. Hey, Mark, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Rob. How are you?
Good, man. Welcome to the PosIM Radio Show.
Well, thank you very much. It's good to be here. I'm glad to see everybody.
It's your first time calling in,
here.
Right?
This is my first time. I'm a first caller. Ding, ling, ling. Yes, first
time
caller.
You're a virgin. You're a PosIM virgin.
Oh, Lord. This is over here. God help you. You're in trouble now. I will talk you off. Go ahead.
So how are you feeling today? What's on your mind?
I actually had a pretty decent day today, Rob. And like yourself, let me give you a short version of my story. When I was first diagnosed, my doctor had given me some blood tests and had done them twice to make sure that there were no mistakes, and had called me and said, I've got some news that you might want to be able to come in and talk about. So went over and saw my doctor, and he sat me down and explained everything to me and said, HIV, and this occurred back in July of 2008. So I have had the virus, and I I call it a virus. I do not have AIDS. I don't consider myself, even though I do have it, I don't consider myself having HIV. I have a virus that I am unfortunately not able to get rid of at the moment.
Right.
And that's the way my doctor, that's the way my doctor explained it to me is, Mark, you have a virus that you're unfortunately not going to be able to get rid of, at least in our generation. Maybe, hopefully, in 20 years, 50 years, they'll come up with something that we can maybe take something for or get a shot for and, you know, hopefully destroy stuff like polio or, you know, they're working on cancer, you know, right now. So we will have a cure for here.
You're breaking up a bit, Mark.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not sure how to fix that. Hang on, Rob. Let me... Okay. Well, I'm not sure how to cure that problem,
okay,
Rob, but
fine.
I'll stay
that's
with
fine.
You. Okay.
That's fine.
Okay, good.
So you were just recently diagnosed, you said, in July?
July of 2000. I have been diagnosed for 7 months now.
Okay, so you actually were diagnosed right when this site was relaunched over to where it's at now.
So yes, that's correct.
Okay, and how long have... Now, I know Les has been a member for a while, right? And you didn't join until a little bit later, right? Because Les, your partner, is also a member.
Yes, he is.
Okay.
I'm not sure exactly when he joined, but he's been with Paws I Am for a little longer than I have, yes.
And that's interesting because I remember when you weren't on, he was trying to get you to come on. Now you're always on.
Yes,
you're
now
always
I'm always on.
Now.
I'm always here. That's correct.
So go on. I didn't mean to cut off your story, but go ahead.
Oh no, that's fine. No. I guess Rob, with my situation, it was kind of like being in a baseball game, and I got knocked out into left field. Without even knowing that I had been to bat speak when the doctor told me all of this. And, I mean, I've heard people say that they got mad at themselves, they've been frustrated, they get upset. It's kind of hard to explain, it really is. I mean, I actually feel more stupid with myself knowing that I went out and played the tango and didn't exactly play it safely, so to speak, but at the same time, I was that naive that I did not know, well, heck, we'll go out and have a great time and nothing's going to happen to me. I really realistically, you know, thought to myself, you know, we're going to have a great time and everything will be hunky-dory the next day, and it isn't. It is
we
not,
all think,
let
yeah,
me tell you.
We all think we're Superman.
Yes,
you
exactly.
Know? And it's not going to happen to us.
I'm currently under a doctor's care with the county services here in North Carolina. They're great doctors. They're taking good care of me. They can only do so much, though, as most medicine people will tell you the same thing. Yes, I have been on medication. No, I'm not on medication at the moment because the medication made me irritable. It made me lack of sleep. It would give me symptoms that I didn't want to or couldn't either take care of or something like that. But anyway, the doctor that I have gave me a prescription for 6 or 7 different medications all at one time, and it was hard for me to actually remember when to take this, how many to take, and to keep track of everything, try to take care of stuff at the time, and so hang on just a second. I think I've got somebody else here. I'll have to hang. Nope, sorry about that. He was calling from Fiji. Sorry about that.
No, that's fine. So you're not on any medication yet. Are your accounts
no,
at
I'm
a
not.
Point to where you don't need to be on medication, or you're just choosing not to go on?
I'm choosing not to.
Okay. Because I know
I really
my
should be.
Were low and
go ahead.
Pretty steady at a point, and then when I went to the doctor the last time, he turned around and he said that he thought it would be, you know, he goes, I know you tried it because I tried. They put me on the Atripla, and I went on the Atripla because it was once a day, and they're like, oh, it's so easy. You know, I take it, and I'm all worried about side effects and things like that. And I broke out in this rash. I mean, from head
that's
to toe,
I have now.
I was itching like crazy. I was literally in
what
the
I have
shower.
Now.
Yeah, I was literally taking them, and I was in the shower because I was itching so bad from it. And I was literally laying in the shower in the tub because it itched so bad that the water made it feel better. And my partner walked in, and like he told I was in there like drowned because I was literally submerged in the water because I was itching so bad. I called the doctor.
Oh, wow.
The doctor told me, go to the emergency room. You know, and I'm looking online all over for this. What is this thing that I have? And I'm looking, and to me, it looked just like Steven Johnson's disease. So I went and told the doctor, you know, this is what I think it is. And he said, you know, he only had one time this ever happened before to a patient. And he's like, just call me and let me know how things are. I was in the hospital for 3 days. You know, they were pumping fluids in me. I didn't know what to, you know what I mean? I didn't know what to think, what to do. I was like, what the hell's going on? Then they tell me I had an allergic reaction to the Festiva that's in the Atripla, which I guess I never.
I'm on that.
Yeah, I never took it before.
Yeah, I'm on that too.
Festiva. Now you said you're breaking out with the rash.
I actually have I've got a few sore places on my arms at the moment that are very itchy.
Yeah, I was so bad. The doctor, though, he didn't tell me this until after I came and seen him a second after I was done going to the hospital and everything was done. I called him, told how it was. He goes, you know, I only had this happen to one patient before, and that patient passed away. He's like, and
wow.
That's why I was so concerned about it. And, like, little did I know, I mean, thank God he waited to tell me that. You know what I mean? So I wasn't in the hospital thinking about that. But it meant a lot to me that my doctor called me, gave me a cell phone number, and was like, yeah, call me, you know, when anything happens, I want to be updated with what's going on. And to me, that's a great doctor, because any
yes.
other time you call the doctor, you're getting the office, and they're out of hours, and you got to call, you know, the nurse will call you back with a message or something. So to me,
yep.
I was touched that my doctor was able to do that. So, and if you're in the Philadelphia area, you can always check out Philadelphia Fight or fight.org, and it's a really cool
uh-huh.
place, and I actually go down there for my blood work and stuff, so that's where the doctor's at, and it's amazing.
Cool. Yeah. Well, I know with my doctor that when the one time I went in to see him to have some blood work done, I had the little spots on my arm, and he was amazed at the look I had. Oh Lord, what's it called? Anyway, to him, he went and got his book, Rob. He went and got his book. It must have been as a Bible, and he's sitting there flipping through the pages, looking at different pictures, different, you know, viruses and stuff like that. And he goes, "You have something I've never seen before." Of course, I'm like, "Oh, gee, thanks, Doc. You have a book that you're telling everything in there, and yet I have something on my arm that you've never seen before." So he did, a culture on my arm, and what was it that they found out here that I had? The meningitis? Did I have meningitis? Yeah, I think I had meningitis, Rob, at one time, but they gave me medication for that, so that's been taken care of. But he took a culture of several of the spots that I have on my arm to determine what was going on with me. But Rob, you know, as far as with me right now, like I said, I'm not on any kind of medication at the moment. I really actually should be on medication, but with, you know, I work just like you do,
right.
5 days a week, and I'm up at 6 a.m. in the morning, and I really don't get home until 4:30 in the afternoon. Now, I used to sleep a lot more than I do now, but I have gotten used to a sleep period. I do try to get a good hours of sleep a night. And that helps me out a lot. But when this stuff first started, I would be at work and I would get really, really tired and really could not really function all that well. And I would literally come home, Rob, and lay down and take a 2 to 3 hour nap because I was that tired.
I used to have days like that. I come home and exhausted and drained.
I had had a loss of appetite at one time. I was literally eating like a bird and really couldn't figure out what was going on with that. I have been able to get my appetite back now, so I have a good diet going for myself. And so, you know, I guess my daily routine is about the same as it was before I found out that I had been diagnosed with this virus. So for right now, I'm doing all right. You know, I'm still up and around and moving and trying to get things done and going to work and stuff like that. And to be honest with you, I don't even give it a second thought. I honestly, I realize that I've got a virus and the doctors are working on it and they've got me, you know, doing tests and taking blood work and giving me shots and stuff like that. But at the same time, I realize that, you know, hey, I have a life to live. I've got a job to go to. I've got, you know, a family to take care of, you know, with, you know, trying to get some income into the house and stuff like that. So, you know, I do really need to focus more on my health, which everybody tells me about. But at the same time, you know, it's like, you know, I got a job I got to go to, so I really don't have time to really focus as much as I should on, you know, personal health, which I really should. But I just can't sit here. You know what I'm saying?
I understand. You can't just stop living life. You know what I mean? That's like giving up. You have to continue to do what you were doing and just pray that you can do it as good as you were before. You know?
Yes, I agree.
You know what,
yes,
Mark?
I
thanks
agree.
For calling in. I actually have another caller sitting on the line, so I'm going to connect with them. But I just want to thank you for calling in and, you know, sharing some of your story with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Rob. Good hearing from you.
Have a good night, man. All right. So next I'm going to move to area code caller 419. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, this is
Anthony.
Hey, Anthony. How you doing, man?
Good. I was having trouble with my internet, so I figured I'd call in and see what's going on.
Well, welcome to the Positive Radio Show, man. How you making out?
I'm doing good. I was excited when I found the website. It's awesome. Awesome concept.
Oh, great. Thanks.
So I've been, like, talking and chatting with different people on there, and I think that, like, I listed some of my views on things a little earlier about the age generation.
Right, I saw that.
But I really think that today's young people don't realize that what happened in the 80s is still going on now, just not to the same extent. And until people get out there and talk about it, it's not going to change.
Right.
So, I don't know. I just like sharing my views, but...
No, I agree. Actually, Anthony is actually... You're a new member, right? You just joined recently.
Yeah, just like not even a week ago.
Yeah, that's right. And you created this group here called Generation Pause Taking the Lead. And I'm going to read here what you wrote, just so it's in your words. You put that, as a child of the 80s, I have not known a world without AIDS. Young people today don't understand how bad things were in the 80s because it's not talked about anymore. I want to help take the lead in telling the world it's still here. HIV and AIDS is still affecting lives just as badly as it was in the 80s and early 90s. Being infected made me realize a little too late that it's still here. I'm part of the AIDS generation, a generation that has never known a world without AIDS, but also a generation that does not know enough. There is still stigma that is attached to HIV and AIDS that is haunting the lives of people living with it. The young people today have the power to change that. Generation Pause is taking that lead. So I think it's a great group to set up, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's great. I mean, it's exactly what, you know, falls in line with the website, I think, pretty well.
Yeah, I was, like I said, I was super excited to find that. I've been wanting to start some kind of group or something in my local community to help young people take a step forward. Actually, the 30th through the 1st, next weekend, I think it is, I'll be going to a summit for HIV-positive youth between the ages of 18 and 25 that are wanting to step out and be leaders. So I'm excited about that, too.
Oh, that's amazing. That's really cool. Now, how'd you get involved with something like that? See, I just started getting involved with stuff like this, and the website's actually a year old. It came out a year ago, and it was at a different host site, and I had it somewhere else. And then I just recently moved it here in July and launched it, and now it's a little bit more put together and looks better than what it was before.
It's an amazing site.
But I'm trying to find a way to get out there, and I'm trying to connect with the local places here in Philly because it's a little bit difficult for me to, you know, travel out of state to do things right now. You know what I mean? But how did you get connected to do things like that? Because I know a lot of people are sitting there going, I want to go out and help and do things, but I don't know how to.
Well, the first step that I did is I got involved with the local AIDS task force, volunteering, doing whatever I could for them. I've just started recently testing for them. Learning how to do that and been shadowing. I also do things with the Ohio AIDS Coalition from time to time. That's mostly like healing weekends. I don't know if you know what that is.
No, I've never heard of that.
The healing weekend, I know they have it here in Ohio, but they do it twice a year, once for the south side of Ohio, and the next time would be for the north side.
Okay.
But the healing weekend used to be a weekend where people would get together and pretty much say their goodbyes because, you know, there was no hope for them back then. But now it's more along the lines of bonding with other people that are HIV positive. And the Ohio AIDS Coalition helps put that together twice a year. And it was the big eye-opener for me of what I needed to do, which was get connected with other HIV positive people, because it inspired me and encouraged me, and it gave me a lot of strength knowing that there are other people out there that are going through the things that I'm going through. And to be able to share that experience was just, it helped me a lot. I like the idea of being able to talk to someone that's positive, because if I'm having a bad hair day, I'm having a bad hair day. But with also the fact that I'm knowing, hey, I'm positive too, but someone else doesn't understand that, you know. I know bad hair days, like kind of chintzy, but I have a figure out.
No, but that's how it is. People don't understand it. You know what I mean? Like, there's that connection, because like when I'm on there, and even like with the radio show, when people call in, like you, but or when I'm on there, you know, chatting with somebody either in the chat room or instant messaging them, I have this connection because they I feel like there's a connection because they know exactly what I'm feeling.
Exactly, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's no guessing, like, you know, do you know, do you not know? You know what I mean? People who say they try to understand what's going on. You don't understand unless you go through it.
Yeah, and, I went my first year and a half without knowing anyone that was positive, other than, you know, going to the task force and getting tested. I didn't know if those people were positive or not because of the HIPAA laws. They couldn't tell, you know. So I never knew any other person that was positive. I felt like I was going through it alone, and that because I slept with someone unprotected, I was being punished for it, and I had to suffer alone. And I felt like I was one of the only people my age that was infected.
How old are you?
I'm 25.
Okay, so you're 20. And when were you diagnosed?
Just after I turned 23. So it's been 2 years now.
Now, did you experience, like, a lot of downtime in the beginning, like, of, you know, of course, like, bad thoughts, not understanding all the whys and the depression and things like that?
For the first month and a half, I pretty much locked myself in a bedroom, and my lover took care of me, paid my bills and stuff for that month and a half, and I was very thankful to have him, but, otherwise I would have had to go out there and work with that on my mind. And I couldn't do it. I couldn't make myself work. I couldn't make myself face people. And when I finally was able to face people, I kind of was able to hide it. But as soon as, like, I knew a doctor's appointment was coming up or something that had to do with HIV/AIDS, I would have to, like, little breakdowns and cry. I would lash out even, like, in anger. I was lucky that I had shared the information with my boss, and she understood what I was going through was hard, even though she didn't understand what it was exactly that I was going through. She understood that I was having a hard time with it. And I lashed out at her one time and was crying, and I went off on her for no reason at all, and I was lucky not to get fired. But like, things like that were happening during the first part of accepting it. And I got through my first year barely. Like, I kept on slipping deeper and deeper into depression. But then after that first year, I had moved, relocated to a bigger city, and that's how I got connected with all the task force and the Ohio AIDS Coalition and all that. And they got me connected with the right people, which helped me a lot. I still was going through a lot of depression, and I ended up trying to, I one night took razors to my hands and was going to do my wrist, but it hurt too bad. But I got connected through the task force with a therapist, and I've been going through therapy. I was going once a week. That started last winter. I was going once a week, and then by summertime, I was going once a month, and now it's just every once in a while to make sure I'm doing okay. I didn't realize how big of a deal, like, it hit mentally.
Yeah.
That's been the hardest part for me, was the mental thing.
Yeah, when I was first diagnosed, actually, it was in the process. I was still going to, I didn't actually go to therapy. That's one thing that I just didn't try. Just, I don't know why I have issues with opening up to strangers. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard. Like, even, like, opening up on the radio to, like, everybody here, it's a little bit easier for me because, one, I don't see you, and, two, I still consider you all my friends because you're all coming from the website and, you know, you all know me. You know what I mean?
True.
We have this common bond, but, like, I had a therapist once, and it was this straight guy who I was trying to tell him about how horrible of a relationship I was in, and I just felt like he couldn't relate to me at all. You know what I mean? Because I'm talking about being with a guy, and he's just like, yeah, yeah. But when I was diagnosed, I also was just coming clean off of cocaine and meth. So I went through a period of, like, depression, big fall, right before, and then that's when I got clean. Then 6 months later is when I was diagnosed, and I think me going to those NA meetings was kind of like therapy for me. You know what I mean? Because I would go there and I would share things, you know what I mean, about maybe using and things like that, but it just helped me talk a little bit more about myself, which is something that I needed to do.
Yeah. When I started going to the groups that the task force had, like the support groups and stuff, it made things worse for me. Like I said, I felt like I was the only person my age that this happened to, because the support groups had people that had been 20-year survivors plus, you know. It's like,
right. That's
awesome that they survived that long, but I can't relate to them. I can't. They came from a total different era. And my goal is to get all the young people connected so that we can be a new force on this whole issue.
I agree with you 100%. Actually, you actually might be interested in checking this out. I am a part of a campaign called Does HIV Look Like Me?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a worldwide video campaign. And what I did is they sent me a list of questions, and you got to pick a couple out of it. And I, you know, went on and filmed a video of me speaking. And if you actually go to doeshivlooklikeme.org, you should be able to find it there. I think they have, like, U.S. ambassadors, and then my videos under there is under Bob. But they go around to schools, and they do this thing as a part of Hope's Voice, and they're based out of New York. So I think you're in Ohio, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's not too, too far if it was something that you majorly got involved in, but they do a lot of touring around the schools and stuff like this, and it's a great organization, and the guy Todd who runs it is great. And I think, you know what I mean, you're at an age where I think, because they will kind of want to do, I believe it was 28 and younger, for the videos to kind of get the young faces out there. And I think just from talking to you on the phone, it would be great for you.
That does sound awesome to get involved in.
I can, of course, send you all that information, but you can also just go to either hopesvoice.org or doeshivlooklikeme.org, and just tell them that I sent you, and you know, they'll figure it out. Or anyone out there who wants to share their story, who's under the age of, I believe, 28 is what they're looking for the campaign, it's great. I mean, they have tons of videos. The guy, Todd, goes all over. I think that may have been the Todd that was in the room. I'm not sure. But because he was in the chat room, so I'm thinking that's what made me see his name, and I thought maybe that you may be good for that campaign because it's really, 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 really cool. And they have tons of videos, I mean, all over, different countries, continents, different everywhere. People who, you know, they go and film these videos and set them up. It's really amazing.
Cool.
I'm so glad
that I did end up joining this group, because it was just like, I've already made a couple friends on there that I feel like we connected really well and stuff. So
yeah, there's a lot of great people on there, and hey, I'm always looking for help. So you know, I'm trying to form a little bit of a Paws IM team to kind of help me run the website, because it's a little bit hard to keep track of posting things everywhere. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
But if you haven't already, you should go and introduce yourself in the forum. But I think you have, didn't you?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that's one of the main things there, but I mean, that's the quickest way for people to meet people, is to go in and, you know, tell them a little bit about themselves. I mean, the reason I made it is because I thought I was so different, you know what I mean, that how could this happen, am I the only one out there? And then by discovering, you know, that campaign, and then it just kind of inspired me, different things inspired me along the way, and you'll see it as you go along the way, certain things that you come in contact with will inspire you more than others, like Bob Bowers, the pirate. He's on the
pirate.
Site,
yeah,
too. Yeah. Like
that's how I found this site, actually.
Oh, it is,
because I had him on my MySpace page and I seen it through there.
Oh, that's cool. Actually, it's funny because how I found him is I googled, you know, my name. I googled Bob and I googled HIV/AIDS, and his website was like the first thing to come up. And
cool.
Then, like, now we're pretty good friends. Like, we talk on the phone and stuff like this, and it's just amazing that name and the disease just kind of popped us together and made us now friends, and you know, I call him my brother now, my brother from another mother. but
wow.
It's cool, because it helps me to open up more to guys, because I had a lot of issues with opening up to guys, you know what I mean, especially in relationships and stuff, and now I, you know what I mean, just accepting myself and loving myself, I feel like I have a better sense of being in a relationship. It's not all about me now. You know what I mean, that was my issue, it was always about me.
Like, okay.
I had a question, since you're on the phone with me, right? Here's a good one. Some people think this is weird. I only heard one other person say this besides me, is I view my HIV status as a gift. And a lot of people will criticize me and say, how could you say that? You know, to me, it's a gift because it changed. It actually changed my life for the better. After being diagnosed, you know what I mean, I was able to get clean. You know, I mean, obviously I was clean before, but I was able to stay clean afterwards. I'm able to be now in a relationship and not run around. And it just put my whole life into check, and it made me responsible and grow up and be a man and, you know what I mean, take on building the website and trying to help others. How do you view your gift? How do you view your status now? I mean,
I absolutely agree. I absolutely agree about being a gift. It's like one of those gifts you get for Christmas you can't return. It's one of those unwanted gifts. Yeah, it's an unwanted gift, but in the long run, you actually realize that it did mean something for whatever reason it may be. Mine was I had no goals, really, before I was diagnosed, and now I have a goal of helping people and doing different things with my life. Before, I was just a retail supervisor and just living to live. You know, I wasn't doing anything special. I wasn't trying to push myself farther. But now I'm pushing myself not only to live and make a living, but also to help people and make sure that people don't go through this thing alone, because it's a scary thing to go through alone.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. It's, because just that connection is all you need. You know what I mean? Just that little bit of a connection is so, so important. But what was I just going to say to you? Damn, totally slipped my mind. But, yeah, like the other person who said that to me was Bob Bowers, and I actually talked about, you know, how viewing how I viewed it as a gift, because, like you said, it changes everything. And I got a lot of critique. A lot of people didn't like that. They thought I was putting it out there for people, like I was praising my HIV status. And that was
absolutely not. It's something that was given to you. Like the way I put it, my therapist had me write a letter to the person that infected me, not intending not to give it to him, but what would I say to him? And I ended up saying, thank you. I was like, you gave me a gift that I could not give back to you, no matter how much I wanted to give it back to you. But I understand that he can't give it back either. And it's changed my life. And yes, there's a lot of things bad about it and a lot of things bad that follow it. But at the same time, it's making me do things that I probably would have never done. I didn't do any kind of HIV AIDS related things before because of the stigma that was behind it. I didn't want people to think that I was HIV positive. I didn't want people to criticize me. And now I'm trying to change that and make people see that, well, I am HIV positive, but not everybody that does stuff to help that is HIV positive. And if we do something about it, we can make sure that no one else becomes HIV positive.
It's very true. And are you, does your family and friends all know about your status? Like, are you out and about that?
Every one of my friends pretty much know, and if they don't, I've been telling them lately, just because I'm very, very, very comfortable with it now, and I know where my life's headed. As far as my family, I have four siblings, and one of my siblings know. My parents don't know yet, just because they're kind of closed-minded. And
yeah, I hear you.
It's hard because I don't want my mom to worry when she has no reason to worry. And she's kind of one of those people that worry about everything and anything she can worry about.
Yeah, I hear you.
So,
I actually told my mom basically maybe like 3 days after I found out.
Wow.
Because I was close with my mom, you know what I mean? And at the time, I was living with my mom and we just lost my dad. You know what I mean? And I just got clean. So all these things were going on. So it was like I was in that frame of mind to open up and to let people in, especially my mom at that time with, you know, losing my dad. But she took it, you know, kind of harsh in the beginning, but they come around. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And eventually they come around. If that's one thing I can tell you is eventually it'll be okay for them. You know,
it's
a little hard to say, but
when I told my sister, she... I was very, very shocked at what she had to say to me. She simply was like, well, how's your viral load? How's your T-cell count? I was like, what? How do you know about these things? She was like,
right.
Well, you know, I knew what your lifestyle was, and when you moved away from home, I got even more worried, and I know we had a cousin that died from age-related illness. And so she was worried about me, so she started looking it up, and since I wasn't, you know, so showing any physical signs, she didn't really worry, but when I told her, she was like, you're doing okay, though, right? I'm like, yeah. She's like, it'll be okay. There's advancements, and I started crying. I couldn't believe that my sister was that supportive of me. I knew she was supportive of me. Out of all my family, my oldest sister is the most supportive of me, but... It was very, very big relief. It was very liberating for me to be able to share that with a family member.
Yeah, and it probably makes it a little bit easier to open up and tell the next person, whoever that person is, whether it was one of your friends or, you know what I mean, it just having somebody accept you and just be able to support you, you know what I mean, when you tell them, it kind of gives you that glow kind of like, oh, I can do this. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I can open up and I can tell people. I actually think I just lost Anthony. I don't know how he got disconnected. Maybe he accidentally hung up. So, but that's a great feeling, actually. There's about 10 minutes left. Oh, he's back. So let's get him in before we close out the show. Anthony, are you there?
Yeah, I got disconnected. I'm sorry.
I'm all like, oh, he's quiet. He didn't like my question.
Like, oh, I'm tired of this. Okay, bye.
So they're supporting you off the bat, you know, when you told her, kind of helped you move along and tell the next person a little bit easier because you had that support already.
Yeah. It, after I told her, I immediately went to work. I told my boss. I was like, you know, I've came in here. I've been in weird moods sometimes, and you've not completely understood. I was like, for a while, I kind of stopped telling people. And I was like, this is what's going on. Because after I relocated, I didn't really tell a lot of people. And I was like, this is what's been going on. And I was like, when I leave early some days, this is where I'm going. You know, I have an appointment for this or appointment for that, whatever the reason is. And he was so, so supportive, too. And it's nice. I don't think there's been probably one person that's not been supportive of me, and it's that kind of person I didn't need in my life anyways. They weren't someone right. close to me. Anyone that's close to you is going to still keep you in their life and be supportive of you because you can't change things. They know that you can't change things, so they will be supportive, and that's the biggest thing. If you're ever going to disclose to someone, just do it because they will support you.
I agree. Usually, I mean, from my experience, I can tell you that when I disclose to people, some people, you know, maybe said they had no problem with it and then never called me again. But for the most part, most of the people, and I'm just talking about people that I tried to enter even a relationship with, they were fine with it and still called me. And you know what I mean? So there are people out there who will love you for you as you deserve.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? It's just great to see. But I'm going to actually get off with you now because we have about a couple minutes left before the show ends, and I just want to go over a few announcements. But thanks for calling in, Anthony. I appreciate it, and I look forward to learning more about you on the site.
All right. Awesome.
Don't forget to check out that website I told you. It's doeshivlooklikeme.org.
All right. Thank you.
Tell them I sent you. You got it, man. Have a good night.
All right. Bye.
Thanks. So that's great. I love when new people call in to the site and tell me, you know, what they're getting out of the website. And to me, it's just a great feeling because I do this, you know, because in a way it helps me. I do it to help others, but it also helps me because it lets me know that I'm not going through this alone, just like that's what, you know, the members of the site find itself. I just wanted to make an announcement that next Sunday we have a radio show. Jeremy will be back with us. He's feeling under the weather. So, again, we're going to send some love his way and hope he feels better soon. But next week we are going to do a show on medical marijuana and how it's beneficial to people with HIV and AIDS. And you can listen to that again next Sunday at 9 o'clock, same time. And starting February 4th, I believe, in February, the Paz AM radio show will now be 2 days a week. It'll be Wednesdays at 2 p.m. in the afternoon, Eastern Standard Time, and Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Sunday, I'll still be hosting with Jeremy Dunn, but on Wednesdays, I will be hosting with Josh. And Josh actually called in last week and hosted the show with me when Jeremy was out, so that ought to be exciting. Josh is a younger guy. He's younger than me. I believe he's 27 maybe, and I like getting the younger people involved because it lets me know that, you know, that was my mission when I started working and trying to promote, you know, my story and getting out there. And when I got more involved with, you know, Hope's Voice, that was my purpose, was to get to the young people, because what happened to me doesn't have to happen to the next generation. And that's the whole purpose of us doing this website and this radio show and putting ourselves out there. So I appreciate it all, and it means a lot to me. So I'm just going to leave you out with one song. I'm going to end the show with me. I won't be back on, but I will see you again next Sunday at 9. So you folks enjoy the rest of your night, and thank you all for tuning in to the Paz IM radio show. Bye-bye.
Would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song. I will try not to sing out of key. Yeah. Oh, baby, how do you I'm